The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Rodgers, touchdown, Montgomery. This is second and goal. Rodgers, kick play for Cobb. Branch couldn't stop him at the goal line. Touchdown, Green Bay. Randall Cobb, free play. Rodgers has made a living of this. Takes a shot downfield. And James Jones and Rodgers have done it again. Rodgers has Lacy with him. He'll throw to the outside. Cobb is in again. Another Packer touchdown. Rodgers. Cobb. Again. It's a 5-touchdown night for the MVP.
I know it's not easy what you do, but do you realize how easy you're making it look?
I don't. I don't have that vantage point. I'm just trying to...
What does it look like from your vantage point?
It looks like we're making some plays. You know, we're able to capitalize on some free plays and to capitalize on some matchup stuff.
So this just in, that Aaron Rodgers is pretty good. Ah, but the fat Aggie isn't. Let's get it rolling. It's a Local Music Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model. No Jong Lee today. Aaron filling in again. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. Put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at producer AM radio with a Y.
No M.
Producer A radio with a Y.
Anymore.
Ah, I see what you did there. And also Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. It's a Tuesday. Usually everybody's in a bad mood. Usually the show just goes right off the rails and we have a lot of fun. We also do local music bumper on everything except for top of the hour stuff, the usual things that we do. So everything you hear will be local bands. And Aaron will have to tweet out the list of songs and artists. So some of you guys sent me stuff. We will not get to it until next week because Jong has to do all that. So I have some new stuff, but that will have to wait till next week. I apologize. What's going on, Mr. Hoffman?
Sports and stuff like that, man. What's up with you?
The same. More sports than anything today.
Looking slick.
Yeah.
You know, they told us don't dress up, and everybody except me dressed up. You guys are a bunch of douchebags for that.
Well, I'm not going to do a TV thing and not...
It was a test. It's never going to air.
I know, but that's... You know, I'm sorry. I just... That's how I had a meeting too today anyway, so...
Sure you did.
I did.
I'm sure Salisbury had one, and Bunin and Donato had them too.
I can't speak for those guys.
They all had their big business meetings. That's why when we showed up for the thing today, that they said, no need to dress up for.
No, they said,
I was the only one wearing jeans
casual.
And a t-shirt.
They said casual. This is casual.
What are your pants made of?
They're slacks. That's okay. Casual.
Fred, how long have we been working together?
Way too damn long.
This is about as dressed up as you ever are for work. So don't tell me that's casual.
No, that's not true because...
I'm wearing jeans and a t-shirt. This is casual. Slacks and a dress shirt for you to be just on the air, that is not casual.
No, dressed up is a coat, usually one with the elbow pads that you hate. That's dressed up. This is casual. Sorry.
That's business casual.
Well, yeah. This is a business.
All right. What do you think of that, Aaron? Do you think I'm... I'm seeing some kind of conspiracy.
I think it's fancy for radio, but considering, you know, they all told, I guess they all had to do something.
What do you
TV
think of
related?
That when everyone's told you don't need to dress up and everyone dresses up and leaves the one guy who didn't
exactly
dress up?
That's not exactly what they said. They said don't wear a tie and a coat.
Okay.
Yeah, just because
you should have wore what you had and then just put a coat and tie on.
I probably should have. Oh. That would have been fancy.
I'll be honest. You don't want to do it anyway. So you're the one who came in just kind of like,
that's true, but you guys don't need to make me look bad while we're in the process.
So everybody else actually looked respectable and you didn't. Whose fault is that?
I always look respectable. I always look respectable because mostly because I'm the most handsome guy that works on the station, which is that helps. I'm, you know. You and Salisbury look like you've been run over by a car. I guess Granado might be more handsome than me now. What do you think? Who's more handsome, me or Granato?
I think you are.
Thank you. See, I'm the most handsome guy on the air here, so I don't have to dress up. They know. They know what I got.
But that's why they won't let me on air, though.
That's true. It doesn't matter. You don't worry about that.
You just got all the airtime you're getting today. That's congratulations for agreeing with him. 713-780-ESPN. It's amazing the Aaron Rodgers love today when the reality is we see this every week. Just because it was Monday Night Football, now everybody's going, oh, where's he among the best ever? It's like the same place he was before last night. The same place he's been for the last couple of years. I mean, the guy's amazing. And, yeah, when you go that many games at home without throwing an interception, I just think that's incredible. Now I've got a phone call from Turkey. Look at that. What the hell is that?
I don't know.
Who would be calling me from Turkey?
That's your people, right?
No. I don't know anybody in Turkey. Hope they leave a message. Anyway. But, yeah, they pretty much just wrecked shop last night. And that's if I were ranking the most impressive team so far, I'd have them up there, probably third.
I think I'd have them third too. But that's, I mean, 1, 2, and 3, you could mix in any order, and I wouldn't laugh at you. In fact, most people would have the Patriots number one, but Arizona's scored more points and given up less points. So, I also
think the Patriots have played better teams than the Bills and the Steelers.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, now the Jaguars are awful, but that's the equivalent of the Cardinals playing the
49ers.
But they also got the Bears, so.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers are definitely amongst the elite, but I don't think that's a surprise to anyone.
No.
I mean, this is what we thought this team was.
Yeah, I'd probably go Patriots, Cardinals, Packers, Falcons, Donkeys.
I'd probably go...
So far, of the unbeatens.
Well, I mean, is this an actual power ranking?
No, it's just who's looked the best so far.
Who's looked the best? I probably wouldn't disagree with that. But, you know, there are teams that are 3-0 that if you had me bet money, if you put the 3-0 Bengals on a neutral field with the 1-2 Seahawks, who am I going to take?
That's why I don't have the Bengals in my top five.
Well, Broncos for that matter.
I think they're probably better than I gave them credit for, especially defensively.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to, and they may yet collapse because at some point they will get Kubiak'd, but they're pretty good defensively. And as long as Manning holds up, which that's the other big question, then I think they're going to be tough in the AFC.
Teams that are good that I didn't think would be good at this point, the Bengals probably top the list. No, that's not true. The Panthers top the list. The Panthers are 3-0, although I don't know how good they are.
Going back to last season, they had that long run to get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they've been pretty good now for going back to the middle of last year. So I'm not that surprised by them.
I'm very surprised by them. I actually thought that they'd be fighting with Tampa at the bottom of the NFC South standing. So they're probably my biggest positive surprise team. I think the biggest disappointment is probably the Lions. Maybe the Ravens. They're both in the same group, but I mean 0-3, but the Lions haven't even looked competitive. You know, the Ravens, you can at least say they've been in some games. The Lions just look bad.
Yeah, and they had and the Ravens did have, you know, they had a chance to beat the Broncos.
Yeah,
week one, but
they had a chance to beat the Giants.
Yeah, just the Lions have just looked terrible, and I don't know. I never expected them to be this bad.
The Colts, even though they're 1-2, are probably in that disappointing, like, just the way they've looked, just eye-testing them.
Yeah.
They've been pretty bad. The Dolphins have failed the eye test. And I guess if we're going to count 1-2s on the negatives and 2-1s on the positive, I think that Buffalo is a really pleasant surprise at 2-1. And I think...
See, I'm not surprised by that. I thought they were going to be pretty good.
I thought they'd be good. I didn't think they'd be as good as they have been. And especially considering LeSean McCoy's doing nothing for that team, and they're still getting solid offensive production. It's pretty impressive. And the Raiders, to be 2-1 at this point, that's a big deal for the Raiders. And not only are they 2-1, they're favored going into Week 4 on the road. That doesn't happen very often.
Remember when somebody called me an idiot for saying I thought the Raiders could win 7 or 8 games this year?
Yeah,
where's that guy?
He won't call back.
No, of course he won't. 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. And, of course, the news of the day. Can we get a little dust in the wind, please, for the Fat Aggie kicker.
Yeah. Listen, I said this yesterday. This is something they have to do. And I know it's you know, when guys are part of a team and you kind of get attached to them and you always think that your guy is better than what the rest of the league perceives him as. And it's like that with every team, every sport. Hell, you do it with fantasy. If you've got a guy on your fantasy team, your perceived value of him is higher than what the other 11 teams in your league think of that guy. It's just a natural thing. So if you're a Texans fan, you probably think, well, there's some good things about Randy Bullock, but I mean, his performance on the field just was not good enough.
No, and the problem I have with it, it's not that they did the right thing, which they did. It's the way they went about handling their kicker again, and just like they did with the quarterback situation, where you're flipping quarterbacks after week one. Whoops, we made a mistake. You didn't even bring anybody in to compete with this guy.
Yeah.
Why didn't you do that in the offseason? How hard is it to bring in another kicker just to compete with him? And then 3 weeks in, you're saying, ah, we were wrong about that too. I'm really starting to wonder about this group as far as it just not, you know, it's fine to make the right decisions, but being forced into making the right decisions, I don't know about it, man. I'm really getting a Greg Schiano vibe from this coaching staff.
Well, the new kicker appears to be Nick Novak.
That is correct. Former Charger.
Former Charger.
Redskin chief.
81.6% of his career field goals, 120 of 147, including 11 of 18 on kicks longer than 50.
Isn't that pretty much where Bullock was in his 2 years, about 80%?
I don't know. Probably close. Yeah, he was 80.3%. Yeah, right there.
That 0.1% is going to make all the difference in the world.
Well, it's actually 1.3%, yeah, Fred.
There you go. The big problem was the extra points. They've only had 5 this year, and he's missed 2.
Yeah, you can't
so
have
60% on extra points is a fail.
And you know, I really like what teams like Pittsburgh have started to do, where they're just going for 2 more. But the Texans aren't really built to do that. I mean, the Texans have a hard enough time getting in the end zone, you know, to score touchdowns when they have 4 chances, much less 1. So it's not necessarily a good thing. And you know what? I think that if Randy Bullock wasn't local, he's a Klein High School kid, if he didn't play college ball at Texas A&M and the Texans didn't use a draft pick on him, he would have already been gone.
Well, and there's yet another draft pick that didn't work out.
Shocking development. Another draft pick.
Of course, it's a 5th-round pick, but still. Use a pick on a kicker. You expect him to be really good.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
That's why most teams don't use them. Mm-hmm. And if, you know, you can say what you want. It's a 5th-round pick, but that team, you know, there's not many draft picks that they've used in the last several years that have done anything. So, and in that draft, probably the only 2 guys that lived up to or exceeded expectation, I mean, Whitney Mercilus, you wouldn't say has played like a 1st-round pick.
No, and he just got a big contract extension. He played half a decent season last year.
Yeah. Brandon Brooks, a 3rd-round pick. I guess you're probably okay with that.
Yep.
Ben Jones, a 4th-round pick. I guess you're probably okay with that. Jared Crick, a 4th-round pick. I mean, he's still on the team.
He's actually plays pretty well for what they ask him to do.
The 2nd pick you took in that draft is Devere Posey. He's gone. Mm. Keshawn Martin's gone. Randy Bullock's gone. Mm. And really, the 2012 draft, in relation, like if you look at the last 5 years, the 2012 draft is the best one of the bunch. But they just lost one in Randy Bullock.
Oh, well.
Dust in the wind, Randall.
It happens. We wish you all the best. He'll resurface somewhere because
I'm sure they always do. These kickers get recycled. That's the circle of life. I mean, I'm sure people thought Nick Novak's career was done, and look what pops up. That's why I said when you're a kicker, you can't miss kicks. You can't miss easy kicks because
there's someone else out there that can
sitting around
job.
On their couch. Yeah, mm-hmm. Someone tweeted yesterday, why are they worried about kicker and not about quarterback or cornerback, the real problems? And I'm like, because there's not a guy sitting around on his couch right now that can just show up and play quarterback in the NFL tomorrow. There are kickers literally, you know, watching NFL Red Zone on Sunday at their house who, if they get a phone call, they can go kick in the NFL tomorrow. It's a different kind of job. the quarterbacks and cornerbacks, they can't like wipe the Doritos dust off their fingers and go out there and do the job. It doesn't work that way.
All right, guys, if you want to go see the new kicker on Sunday, I can tell you a great place to watch the game. Or if you want to watch the Astros or any of the football, head out to Tupelo's. Chip and his team, they're fantastic. And now that it's football season, there's not a better place to watch the games if you're up north, because they'll have them all on. You can see all the TVs no matter where you're sitting there. The food's fantastic. Just a great, great place to hang out. And if you want to watch the Astros make that final push to the playoffs, not a better place to do it, especially if you want to be up late tonight and watch that game. Right now, though, they're planning something really cool that we're all going to be a part of. We're all very excited about. October 12th, Tupelo's is having its first annual charity golf tournament at the Woodlands Palmer Course, benefiting Easter Seals of Greater Houston. Easter Seals, among other great things, runs a Caroline school that was damaged in the flooding back in May. ESPN 97.5 is proud to be a sponsor. Check out 975golf.com for the details and to register or otherwise support the cause. You know we love it at Tupelo's. We're out there a lot. We're going to be out there again soon. Can really make it your home away from home. It's 2907 Rayford Road in Spring, Tupelo's, tupelos.com.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, now's a good segment for it. Probably talk a little more football. Probably talk a little Astros, too. Important win last night.
For sure.
And I have said all along they needed to win. They need to win two out of three in both of these. A 4-2 trip. And, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I think the best possible scenario would be to get to the weekend, a game out, and hope that it falls your way. But you're going to have to win this weekend, too. But yeah. That was a good win last night. And Chris Carter, who has been absolute garbage all year long, is finally starting to hit. If this is when he's going to do it, fine.
I guess. I'm not sure if it's a product. I mean, everybody's like, you know, he's hitting now, but he's getting minimal at-bats. I don't know if that's if it's a chicken or an egg thing. Like, if you gave this guy full-time at-bats, would he go back to being garbage? It's just like, you know, you remember Brett Wallace. It was always Brett Wallace. Oh, when this dude's in AAA, he looks like, you know, the best player and the best prospect in baseball. Then you bring him up to the majors and he's a joke. When Chris Carter gets full-time at-bats, he's a joke. But in these short bursts, he's been very good.
713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Matt on Facebook says Randy got released, but the special teams still suck.
Yeah.
And that's true. And that's something that there's a lot of issues that confuse me about this team. One of them has been their marriage to special teams coaches for as long as they have, when neither one of these guys have ever been any good.
No.
Their special teams have never been successful. And Sunday was a mess. You know, letting the punt get in the end zone. You know, some of the tackles that they miss and just dumb things that they do on special teams. Yeah, your kicker's the more obvious thing because you can see his misses, but there was a lot of other stuff. They've just got to get cleaned up. And that's why it's so hard for me to get encouraged by that win, because I saw so many things in that game, including special teams across the board, where you're like, man, they have to do this better. They have to be good at that, because they're not good enough on offense to go out and just beat teams. They're going to have to play great defense, force turnovers, you know, get some sacks, and then play really well on special teams, above average. Well, they haven't so far.
Not even close to above average. I mean, Leckler's good.
Yeah, Leckler is.
He's solid, but it seems like they have almost always, in the history of the franchise, had a problem with kick and punt returns. Like, they've never had a consistent guy that they've tried a ton.
And they've had guys that have gone elsewhere and done
well. Oh, yeah, as soon as they leave, they're good, but I don't know what it is. I don't know if they're getting the wrong coaching or if it's the wrong scheme. I don't know, but it's consistently been an issue with this organization. The kicking has just been poor.
713-780 ESPN. Texas wanting Will Fork to kick.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I wonder if Carly Lloyd was one of the tryouts.
Not a bad idea. But Leckler, the punter, he's not going to be around forever. You know, this is a guy who is in the twilight of his career, probably, although he is one of the best in the league. And what do you do when he's gone? It's just a total mess.
They draft so well, AJ. I am absolutely certain that they'll use a pick on a punter and he'll wind up being one of the best.
I almost feel like they should draft a kicker and a punter, because then at least if they blow those picks, it's like, well, who cares?
Yeah.
It's just kickers and punters, but yeah.
Or just draft a guy just to return kicks.
I think they've done that several times and it hasn't ever worked.
Well, and that's your evaluation process.
Yeah.
And it'd be
great if they could just draft a guy that could absolutely surefire play football. That'd be great.
Yeah, well, they got a few right, but their batting average is not very good.
It's definitely lower than average, league average.
Let's try a phone call. Mike, you're on the Blitz. Go. Oh, wait a minute. Never mind. Now you're on the Blitz. What's up, Mike?
Hello?
Go, Mike.
Hey, sports.
Hey, sports guys. Hey, I was just calling. I'm a big Longhorn fan, but over these last couple years, I've gotten to U of H football. Always been kind of on the downside. But ever since Todd Herman came, it's been amazing. I actually had a chance. I met him 2 days ago, and the guy's mind is amazing. The guy, it's amazing. And my only fear, and I didn't know what Fred was thinking about it, is he a one and done here in Houston?
Probably.
I mean, I don't know if he's one and done, but he's probably, I mean, if he has a year like this, he won't be here for long.
No.
I mean, if he continues to do the things he's doing, and that's a good thing. I mean, this is not Texas. This is not Texas A&M here. This is not LSU. This is not a destination job. And I mean, I think even you as an alum can be realistic and say it never will be. That's not what this football program is.
Well, there's very few that are destination jobs,
right?
Let's be honest,
right? So what somebody is, if someone has some success here and moves on to a bigger and better thing, good for them.
And you know how many head coaches have come through UH, not just the guys who were running the program? Dana Holgerson,
yeah,
you know, Philip Montgomery was here, Cliff Kingsbury, and there've been a ton of guys like that come through here. And That's fine. And by the way, ever since Tom Herman got here, it's been all of 3 games. Let's not.
Yeah.
But no, he's.
He does look like he's got something going.
He knows what he's doing. I think he's a terrific coach. And a guy like that comes to a program like this to learn what he needs to do to be a head coach. It's one thing to sit there and be the offensive coordinator and work with other guys. But when you're in charge of a whole program, you have to learn to deal with everything. And that's why you take a job like that. And it's obvious a place that can get you to an even better place. And look what it did for Kevin Sumlin. So, and all those other guys we mentioned that are head coaches now, you know, it's a good place to come in and learn. And that's, you know, as a fan, I get that. And if dude goes undefeated and gets a job at the end of the year,
good for him.
I will shake his hand and thank him for what he did. Just like we did with Kevin Sumlin and Art Briles when they moved on. It's like, thanks for what you did. Got the program back on track. And if he gets us to another level, I'm not gonna worry about it at all.
Yep.
It's gonna be good luck, and I hope you have a lot of success at, you know, Michigan State or wherever you wind up, because I think at some point, if he continues on this trajectory, yeah, he'll get a great job. And it's one of those things about UH. It's like you want him to be good, and you know if he's too good, you're gonna lose him. But I'd rather have that, because guess what? Maybe you find the next big thing.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't. Maybe you go full Tony Levine, but which you never should do. But if you do, you know, you get rid of him and you try again. And that's what they did. And I think they've got the right guy. He is extremely smart. I think he's got a real good opportunity to become a big-time coach down the road. And you know what? Let him learn while he's here. 713-780-ESPN. Todd asking any chance the Texans will bring back the kicker who was cut before the season. No, they already brought in Nick Novak. You're almost always going to see a veteran in a situation like this, especially when your guy's been struggling. So, and all the guys I brought in, like Kai Forbath was one of them. It's all guys who've been on NFL rosters and
played. Yeah, this was the list.
You got the list?
I got the list.
All right, let's hear it.
Nick Novak. They auditioned five kickers today. Nick Novak.
He was your winner.
And he's probably the most accomplished just looking at this list. Kai Forbath, former Texans Rice and New York Giants kicker Chris Boswell.
Okay. Former, I always liked that. I'm surprised he hasn't stuck somewhere.
Former Raider kicker, which the Raiders, for as long as I can remember, Sebastian Janikowski's been their kicker.
Yeah.
So if this guy's a former Raider kicker, I don't know when he played.
It must have been for a couple of weeks when Janikowski pulled his fat or something.
Or when he was, at an AA meeting on Sunday. Yeah. Giorgio Tavecchio.
I am not familiar with his work.
And former Bucks and Broncos kicker Connor Barth. Yeah. Who I've never liked that name, Barth.
Or Connor, for that matter.
No, I can't cheer.
Can you put
for
those
you.
Two together?
Yeah. So I think they made the right choice. I mean, and if they tried them all out to see what they got, Novak does have a big leg. Like I said, 11 of 18 on kicks longer than 50, that's a weapon. 11 of 18 on 50+ isn't a bad percentage. I know it sounds like it, but it's not.
No.
Barth made 15 of 16 last year, but that was for Denver.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you kind of take that with a grain of salt. He had a higher percentage, 85.3 for his career, than Novak did. But Forbath had an 87%.
If you can't kick in Denver, you've
got to be able to kick there.
All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. We're going to take a very short break. When we return, I've got a Heisman update for you.
Okay.
You have a new favorite.
I'm not surprised.
I'm not either. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. On a park bench, just waiting for this
solitary day to end. ESPN 97.5. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. For more great sports talk, try Yahoo Sports Radio 1560 AM. Two great sports stations, two presets. Lock them in.
Lock them in. 713-780 ESPN. I don't really do many presets on my thing, but I do have those two
totally locked
in. So, according to Bovada, your new Heisman favorite, and significant Heisman favorite at this point at 3-2, one Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, no surprise right now. I mean, the guy's had about as freakish of a 3 weeks as you can have. So I you won't hear any argument from me. The only thing I would say hold off on is they still have a really tough road to hoe.
Yeah.
And we see now it's not difficult, it's not as difficult as any other position outside of quarterback. Running back, if you're not a quarterback, you better be a running back. But you can't have several losses and win the Heisman. It's very difficult.
Yeah.
Unless
you just do something absolutely remarkable, which if they lose a bunch of games, he won't be remarkable.
So we'll see. I mean, he's off to a fantastic start. I'll tell you who's not far behind him though is Nick Chubb. And
Nick Chubb is 7-1, and you're co-second choice with Trevon Boykin.
Okay. Well, to me, I'd put Fournette and Chubb above Boykin. I think Boykin is getting.
And they're going to lose a game or two. I'm convinced of that.
I'll tell you who. I expected. What do you have the full list there? Where do they have Zeke Elliott?
He is 12-1.
That's a guy
along with Cody Kessler.
If Ohio State were smart, he'd be shorter odds because that guy should be getting the ball a lot more than he does. They should be hammering with that dude. This is more of a year of a running back than it is of the quarterback, I think. And with Kessler already losing a game, and there's really, aside from Boykin, there's not a standout quarterback on a competitive team.
Well, I would wait and see what Seth Russell winds up doing numbers wise, because in that offense, you know he's going to.
But again, they're going to lose games, and
yeah, I don't know. I they haven't played anybody yet. There's no way for me to actually judge them.
And it's hard. As you know, it's harder to win it if you're not at a prestigious school. But Baylor's proven that you can do it. I mean, RG3 did it, but at some point, people look at it and go, is it a system thing? And then they don't want to reward that.
Right. And I think that'll be the thing that eventually bites him, as long as there is a viable alternative.
Yeah.
And right now there is, but we're four games in.
Yeah. And not only is Leonard Fournette a viable alternative, that guy should feast this week against Eastern Michigan. And Nick Chubb is going to play Alabama, so he's not going to have an easy time. But if Nick Chubb puts up...
And Eastern Michigan is terrible against the run, but I would hope that you don't see Fournette for more than a half in that game.
You probably shouldn't, unless you're trying to make a Heisman statement. And
I don't know.
He's not built like a guy who's going to get hurt. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. But you don't want to take a chance in a game like that.
But if Nick Chubb ends up with 120-something, 130 yards and two touchdowns against Alabama...
Wouldn't shock me.
To me, that's just as impressive as running for 240 against Eastern Michigan.
Although, usually the way you beat Alabama is you throw the ball all over the field on them.
Yeah, that's true. Although, I don't know if Georgia can win that way.
Yeah. 8-3-2 just got a promotion at work, celebrating with the Blitz. Congratulations.
What's funny is Derrick Henry, who was kind of a Heisman front runner talked about last week, Alabama loses a game. Where's he on that list?
They only list like the top five. Okay. So
he's out of that. So that's a guy who last week was probably in the top seven or eight discussed guys for Heisman, and he's out of it now.
Yeah,
so
the guys they list are Fournette 3-2, Chubb and Boykin 7-1, Seth Russell 8-1, Zeke Elliott and Cody Kessler 12-1.
Okay.
I would almost be willing to bet that the winner doesn't come from that group. That there's still a Jameis Winston or a Johnny Manziel out there.
I wouldn't disagree with you.
That starts gaining some steam about midseason.
I mean, Jared Goff, if they continue to win.
Yeah, that's a name.
Josh Rosen, if they continue to win. I mean, there's a lot of guys out there. Chad Kelly, if Ole Miss continues to win.
Yeah.
So, but I like both these running backs. And Zeke Elliott, you can throw in there, too. I like all three of these guys, Fournette, Chubb, and Elliott. It's just a matter of can they not lose. And,
right.
And, you know, what's funny is...
I think those guys can lose a game.
I think so, too.
Two might be pushing it, unless they win their half of the conference with two losses.
Right. But like TCU or Baylor, it's more difficult. You lose a game, you're kind of written off. But I think all three of those running backs are special. I also think it's interesting that you remember at the beginning of the season, there were so many guys from Ohio State being listed as potential Heisman winners. And now none of those three quarterbacks are even a thought, because Cardale Jones isn't having nearly the season people expected out of him. He's struggling some. Braxton Miller, it's almost like they're trying to force him to be involved in the offense. And then JT Barrett's sitting on the bench most of the time. It's a lot different looking Ohio State offense than people were expecting.
As Jay pointed out, Eastern Michigan ranks 127th out of a possible 127 FBS teams in rush defense.
Oh, my.
Allowing 373.3 yards per game.
God, he better go nuts.
He'll do that by halftime, and then they'll sit him. Let's grab a phone call. Angel, or is it Angel?
Both.
Okay.
Sports to you guys.
Sports to you.
I had a question regarding Dallas Cowboys. I'd like to hear your opinion about starting quarterback Matt Castle over Brent Wheaton. I'll hang up and listen.
Well, as it stands now, I think they've kind of got to stick with Wheaton. I don't think he was the reason they lost that game. Do you?
No, although
I mean he didn't do much to give him a chance to win. But he's a backup quarterback.
Yeah,
by the way, Matt Castle is a backup quarterback.
In the first half, they did what they needed to do to win the game by running the football well, and they got away from that in the second half. Now the Falcons made some terrific adjustments to take away the run, and that's where they said, okay, you're going to have to beat us. Well, he's going to have trouble doing that because He's not a great quarterback, but he can. I'd still right now rather have him than Castle because Castle's still learning the offense.
Yeah.
And I would say you're going to need to be three or four more weeks in where he's had an opportunity to pick up all the terminology, and which he should be able to do pretty quick because he's a veteran. But even so, I don't know that he's a better option.
Whedon was 22 of 26, threw one interception. I don't think that's horrible. I mean, when you consider the situation he's been put into where, you know, his best wide receiver is Terrence Williams. I mean, it's not a great spot to be a quarterback right now. To me, if I'm a Cowboys fan, my bigger concern is why did we give up 39 points?
Yeah, for all that talk about how good the defense was, that was, you know, they. Well,
how did we let a dude who's, you know, about half the size of your average NFL running back run for $160 on us? You know, a dude who's 5'8" runs for $160 on you? Come on, man. $140, my bad. 3 touchdowns. I mean, that ain't good.
No.
And
no.
Julio Jones, somebody better.
Well, he's such a beast. He's hard to cover anyway, but you've got to do a better job on him. He was getting wide open. And somebody's got to hit him at the line of scrimmage, and you've still got to have two guys back on him.
20 targets for Julio Jones in one game. You got to do something to not let them throw the ball at him. Like, you should almost form a cloud of people around him and let somebody else beat you. But 20 targets.
All right, we are going to take a quick break.
I mean, don't you do that? Like, how is it that Roddy White had 0 catches and Julio Jones has 12 for 164? Aren't you shifting coverage off of Roddy White and make him throw to him?
Yeah, I'm gonna dare him to catch the ball.
Anybody but him.
He was on one of my FanDuel leagues this week. Thanks for that. So, anyway, we're going to go to break. You got to drop that music in there. There we go. All right. A little slow on the trigger today here, Aaron.
I was letting AJ finish his thought.
Well, John doesn't do that. He just starts
the music when you get
and
the
if I start to ramble for too long, you just crank it up, and eventually I'll shut up.
But that's how we know it's time to go to break, is 4:42, you're supposed to hit the button on that. All right. Quick break. We come back. Aaron's going to tell you all the music you've heard so far. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Join us for lunch Friday. We're at Wingstop in the Heights on Yale from 12:30 until 1:30. Pick up some wings, plus try your luck to win tickets to see the next U of H, Rice, or Texas game, station gear, or Wingstop gift cards. Wingstop, the preferred wings of ESPN 97.5. All right, Aaron, tell the people who they've heard so far here on Local Music Tuesday.
So far, we've had The Wolf by Rogue Among Us. That went into our coming out of our first break. Glass the Sky by Koi Pond. I Understand by The Eskatones. 413 by Kilowatts, or 413. I don't know how they wanted to title it. And then that was just Texas Massacre by Some Nerve.
All right.
And I'll tweet those out at the end of the show.
Cool. What are you going to play going to the end of the hour here?
Haven't decided yet.
Oh, okay. So it's going to be a surprise.
Yep.
All right. I shouldn't read texts on Tuesday. I really shouldn't. But you didn't watch a game. Whedon's pick was in their red zone, which set up Atlanta with an easy score. Any defense will struggle when the offense goes 3 and out and 5 and out the whole second half. Check the first half stats for the Cowboys D when the offense was scoring. That's every football game,
Yeah. Knucklehead.
You know,
I'm not saying Brandon Whedon's a good quarterback.
No,
I'm not.
Specifically said he wasn't, but that's what you're stuck with.
But at the end of the day, you gave up 39 points, and that one turnover
that was costly.
It cost you seven of them.
You lost by 11. And your bigger issue was just letting Freeman run all over you in the second half, not guarding Julio
Jones. The first
half,
too.
Yeah, 141 yards, man. 141 yards. That was your issue. So don't try to defend your defense. They weren't good. Happens.
Obviously didn't watch the game.
I watched the game.
I watch the Cowboys game every week. Just so people like you can't tell me you didn't watch the game. Watch every Cowboys game. Love it, too. Love watching Brandon Whedon out there whipping it around. It's the best. the best. I love it, especially now that Dez Bryant's gone.
Yeah, it's so much fun to watch.
Brandon Weeden to Cole Beasley is exhilarating football to watch for me.
Much like watching Ryan Mallett to Nate Washington.
Yeah. Thrilling stuff. But yeah, I watch your crappy team.
Let's do a giveaway here. You're going to win two tickets to the Houstonia Magazine's Houston Tailgate Party. The Texans take on the Falcons this Sunday. You can join the watch party, catch the game with unlimited food and drinks. Whoa.
Damn, son.
As the Houstonia turns their house into a sports bar.
What day is that?
That's Sunday. Tickets are available for purchase at eventbrite.com. We're going to go caller number 20.
Mm.
Awesome. 713-780-ESPN. Wow, that looks pretty good.
Yeah.
I wonder if we get invited to that.
I doubt it.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I like watching the game at home so I can flip around and watch the other games, including the Cowboys. 713-780-ESPN.
Watch. Hey, I saw something the other day.
People are just salty. There's actually some good texts, but people are just in a bad mood on Tuesdays. I get it. Yeah, it's Tuesday. You have nothing to look forward to. You're going to be up all night watching the Astros, most likely. Just relax. Try to have fun. Try to enjoy your life a little bit. And try not to suck as a human being so much. Sorry, go ahead. Didn't mean to interrupt there.
I saw something that it was like a sponsored link on Facebook that I clicked on and went through because it was a stupid slideshow. So I didn't go through all the teams, but I got to the Texans.
Yeah.
Every NFL team's worst starting quarterback of all time.
Oh, God. That's a competitive one there.
Who do you think they went with? And who do you, first of all, who do you think is the...
It's got to be... Well, Dave Ragone started a game for him.
I know. That was my initial... I can tell you he's not the winner.
Okay. Well, is there a criteria? Does it have to be one game or what?
I think it's just one game because the guy who they have as runner-up is Tom Savage.
Yeah, I would say Ragone's the worst.
That's what I would have said, too. I'm not going to, you know... I'm not going to crap on their list because they put some work into it and I didn't, but they put David Carr as the worst.
No, that's...
David Carr, you could argue, is the second best.
Yeah. Well, that could make him the worst too, but...
Yeah.
He's probably the second best guy that's ever started for him, and people forget he actually had, the year before they went 2-14, the reason people were getting encouraged, he had a very good season when they went 7-9.
Yeah.
And... You would have.
Is he a draft bust?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, the guy was the number one overall pick. He wasn't he wasn't a star NFL quarterback. He was not a good quarterback. But when you compare him to the other guys the Texans have had come through here,
I would have.
I might go Fitzpatrick over him.
Yeah, I might put Fitzpatrick second, but. Ragone's up there. Tony Banks started games for this team. He was bad.
Case Keenum.
Brian Hoyer.
Ryan Mallett.
I think you can make a case that Ryan Mallett's not as good. Anyway.
They also had Tim Tebow as the Broncos' worst ever.
Matt says, I notice you say your when referring to a caller's team, but lose it when callers say we, referring to teams. Stay consistent. Okay, now the people on Twitter... are being a-holes. Because you guys say we. All right? Matt, feel free to not listen on a Tuesday if you're going to be one of those people. We don't need you. Try to do nice things for people. We put money in their pockets. You know, get them some local music. We give away stuff to them. And they just bitch.
Orlovsky. Yeah, Orlovsky. He's in the conversation for sure.
Yeah.
Sage Rosenfels in that conversation.
Sage was actually okay, though. He was...
Sadly, Matt Leinart might be in that conversation.
Oh, well, I think you have to say more than one start. Because, okay. And that would put... Because Leinart only lasted a half.
Yeah.
All right. Are you a business owner looking for more... You're not a business owner?
Oh, you're doing a read now. I thought you were asking me a question.
Are you a business? You're a business owner, aren't you?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just me.
Hey, if you're a business owner looking for more leads, if you've tried looking your business up on the internet and it's hard to find, guess what? Your customers are having an even more difficult time trying to find you. That's where SiteJab comes in. They can help you grow your business. They can help you grow it fast. In fact, you can grow your leads from 30 to as much as 75% in just a few months, and imagine what that can mean to your bottom line. And they've had no shortage of success stories where they've taken on some small operations that are now hiring people that have grown fast and getting more business than they can handle, and it's all because of SiteJab. They're your solution when it comes to growing your business. Give them a call, 713-999-4661, sitejab.com. 3 years ago, Hector Garcia started the business, and he's based here in Houston. This is a local business, and he wants to help local business owners. And that includes guys over there in the Golden Triangle. And it's a very competitive online market. He knows how to work it. He knows how to help you. He knows how to help your business grow. Give him a call. 80% of consumers look online first before making a purchase decision. And if you're getting frustrated, SiteJab can take care of that for you. If you schedule a free consultation and you sign up for their services, they're even going to throw in a free mobile website, which is a $400 value, but you have to call now. And they're not just about helping you on the internet, man. They can help your business all the way across the board, help you grow, and he wants to see you succeed, and he's going to help you do it. 713-999-4661, sitejab.com, 713-999-4661. Get more clicks and more leads at sitejab.com, 713-999-4661.